spoiler alert. It broke our hearts to see blonde bombshell James Mansfield be the first contestant to go home on RuPaul's Drag Race Season 9. But things are not over yet for this cutie patootie from Wisconsin. She's still putting out great work in her LGBT pop culture web series, Drag Herstory, and James is making her Cooking with Drag Queens debut, where we devour a Beauty and the Beast princess doll cake.
Today, James Mansfield joins us to share her experience on RuPaul's Drag Race and meeting so many of her idols, including Lady Gaga.
Plus, Mother Vivacious has a message for James about her shady dig at her in her Meet the Queens video.
Former RuPaul's Drag Race contestant Adore Delano sues her management company for allegedly ripping her off.
And James answers all your questions. Remember, the best ones are read on the show, and the worst ones are read to filth. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this
is
Feast
of Fun. Attention all non-basic queens, attention all non-basic queens, show how fierce and fabulous you are with our drag queen-inspired t-shirts.
Reading is fundamental.
Hunty.
The shade is strong with this one.
And Shantae. Fabulous fashion for guys and gals with charisma, uniqueness, nerve, and talent. Available at feastoffun.com/store.
Hello.
Is this James Mansfield?
Yes, it is. However, I excuse myself from the phone. I'm recovering right now. I'm going to put my maid on for you.
Who's your maid?
That would be me, Mr. James. Hi there. Hi, boys.
Hi, darling.
You sound like Lauren Bacall.
Don't I, though? My Tallulah Bankhead impersonation has never been better.
I feel itchy and bitchy and scratchy, calm and collected, but choking, but panic, but alive. You're
There's
alive.
There's a cream for that, darling.
It was heartbreaking to see you go home from RuPaul's Drag Race.
Not as heartbreaking as it was for me.
And you had to keep it a secret for a very long time, huh?
That must. Yeah, like, I had to sit on that one.
How long have you been holding that secret?
4 months now. It's really kind of crazy to be just getting all this like feedback and like love from fans now after you've like already processed everything.
Well, because you were rumored to be on, and then you said, like, no, I wasn't on. I just my phone died for a week, and I was poor, so I didn't get back to anybody. So you were actually, did they, because, like, a lot of seasons, they keep the girls around for a while, don't they? But they just kind of brought you in, gave you the boot, and then sent you home?
Basically, I came in, did a little tap dance, and they sent me home.
So for people who are not familiar with what RuPaul's Drag Race is, as shocking it is to believe, there are still people who are discovering the show. RuPaul's Drag Race is an annual competition where drag queens from all around the nation compete to be America's next drag superstar. And James Mansfield is somebody we've been working with locally on Cooking with Drag Queens and podcasts. So when I heard the rumors that you were on the show, I was like, somebody's fucking with me.
There's no way she made it on.
Well, it was just like, you know, because we've had Shea Coulee, who's on this season, Kim Chi, Trixie Mattel,
Bob the Drag Queen.
So many of our regulars and guests, past guests of Feast of Fun, have made it onto Drag Race. And so it's really exciting to have somebody else that we believe in, that we like, make it onto the show. And we're like, oh, James is going to make it all the way to the top of the game. And they sent you home.
I know. I'm keeping my fingers and my toes crossed for Lola Von Miramar. I think she's going to be the one to take it to Chicago.
I hope she's applying. I hope that it's about time they had a professorial drag queen on the show.
Now, James, your demeanor on RuPaul's Drag Race, I got to say, you look like somebody who had been told their flight was delayed 8 hours and they had no place to stay but the airport. What was going on in your mind? Because you looked like something was not right. So you looked unhappy.
Well, it's one of those things where the minute you take off all the makeup, you realize, okay, I really am here all by myself with a bunch of people I don't know.
And most of them were massive cunts.
Well, they're drag queens, so that's just like a given. No, but like they're all really sweet. It's just,
yeah.
I don't know what happened. I guess, you know, that whole shyness, you know, reserved artist type just doesn't make for very good reality television.
So you feel like when you were in that situation that it was like intimidating, or you felt like isolated in some way psychologically?
Well, you're isolated psychologically in many ways. Like, you didn't talk to anybody. You're by yourself constantly. And I don't know. I went in there with that mentality from like being a kid that was bullied and being a kid that had to make his own friends, that I was under the impression I didn't need that stuff in my life. And it kind of really tests you, and you really learn things about yourself you never really knew.
What was the most important discovery you've made about yourself in this past year?
That's one of those things where you have to I learned that I am actually very dependent on people, and it's okay to need, you know, conversation and love and, you know, to basically invite those things into your life. And going into that whole thing, I guess I kind of went back into that high school mentality of like, you know, a newcomer again, and the whole big world and sea of drag queens that you've never seen before where you come from.
Mm-hmm. It's like having a new job and everybody in the office is like, this bitch is gonna, I better, you know, cut her off of the pass because she's gonna get the promotion before I do.
Not been so much for me. It's like being a temp at a like office job.
Well, you're one of those drag queens that's really into drag, though, because you do that YouTube story, like the drag herstory. I know you've listened to this podcast, you said, since Devin Green first appeared on it many, many years ago.
Since you were a teenager.
Since you were a kid. Yes. And then, you know, you've known Trixie, and so you followed what we do, and you followed what a lot of other drag queens do online. So you must have, when you walked into that room, you must have known at least Shea Coulee and Charlie Hines, right?
I knew Shea Coulee. I actually did not know Charlie Hines that much. I knew Peppermint for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But Charlie Hines, I really was a huge discovery for me, and it really is like, I'm glad I met her. She is such a wealth of knowledge.
You've heard Shea Coulee on our podcast, so you know you better watch your back.
She's tough.
Shea Coulee got into flame war with Chris Crocker. She accused of a drag queen in town of dressing up like Grace Jones was like
when purple face is
in
black
purple
face.
Face.
Yes.
So she's calls attention to shit.
She's a strong, opinionated woman, and yes, that's why we love her.
And so you're in the room, and then you're seeing all these queens. You're like, all this shit's going through your head, and then this Lady Gaga impersonator walks in.
Yes, Ronnie. He was great.
Tell us like what we didn't get to see. Like, what was the demeanor of the queens in the room?
And
when they saw
what
her?
Was the point where you realized, oh my god, this is Lady Gaga?
Well, I immediately, when I walked in, like stormed right next to Peppermint because I was just kind of fangirling over her. So I was next to her the entire time in the back. And when she walked in, we were kind of like, you know, dog sniffing out the situation. Like, it's like, there's no way. There's no way. We heard her talk, and that's kind of where it registered to us, like, oh shit, this is the real McCoy.
So here you are face to face with Lady Gaga.
I was just like taken aback by how small she was. She's tiny.
Oh yeah, she's a snack size diva.
It's not every so often that I meet a diva that's smaller than me. Mm-hmm.
They all are. Cher, Madonna, they're all tiny, tiny, tiny.
I love it because she whipped her little mask off and it bounced off the table, and I saw a rhinestone break off of it. And I knew there, and like,
I would have snatched that rhinestone up and been like, it's mine.
We all did. Everyone took pieces of it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, everyone.
Were you tempted to steal anything when the cameras weren't rolling? Because you rode in RuPaul's car to the gig, right?
Yeah. Well, tell us about that, because that's kind of a new element this year, because, you know, RuPaul has that reality show, a web series, riding in the car with RuPaul with comedians having coffee. Is that what it is?
It's, yeah. Drag queens riding with RuPaul having
car. Jerry Seinfeld?
Jerry Seinfeld.
But I guess Ru loves her cars, and she loves to drive. We have that in common. She loves to drive. I love to drive. And did you know she was picking you up? How'd that go about?
We knew, and I will say this, like, I was mortified getting in the car with her, because the minute I got in there, they never tell a poor girl to wash her hair before getting in the car. So I smack my head on the top of the door, and my wig slides back 2 inches.
Yeah, you have to push a drag queen into a car. Like, have you ever seen Cops or Bad Boys when they shove people into the car? They always hold onto their head and push their head down so their heads don't hit the top. They should have done that with you.
Yeah, I was so embarrassed. I got in there. It's like, next to the supermodel of the world, I might as well just act like I'm Tyra Banks.
Now, is Ru a good driver?
She's a great driver, I'll say this.
Yeah? Does she use her turn signals appropriately? She can whip it on a dime. She can what?
She can turn it on a dime, that
awesome.
One.
Awesome.
Is RuPaul a safe driver? Does she use her turn signals properly?
She wears her seatbelt.
Well, you have to the law. You're like, cool if you don't.
Did you feel like your life was in danger with Ru at the wheel?
I feel like my life is at danger whenever someone else is at the wheel.
Because we've driven. Okay, I'm Mark's driven you.
Who's a better driver, me or RuPaul? That's okay if you say RuPaul, because she pays your bills.
I'll say, yeah, RuPaul probably drives a little better than you.
I would agree.
Although I will say, when I looked, when I first met her, I was gawking at her, and I couldn't help but notice her glasses have no lenses.
Oh, really?
So, her vision's not peripheral.
So is RuPaul blind, or is she just wearing glasses as a fashion accessory?
She wears them to hide her lack of eyebrows, probably.
Accessory.
So this is the theory that I have, is that RuPaul has that hair condition where she can't grow any hair on the top of her head.
Alopecia?
Alopecia, right? And so she goes around telling all these drag queens, you got to shave your eyebrows if you want to become famous.
You're not ready for drag until you... Well, that's when she said she accepted drag, is when she shaved her eyebrows off.
When she went to the doctor and the doctor said, you have alopecia, is what she decided. Well, I guess, might as well be a drag queen.
I know lots of guys who fill in their eyebrows or just draw their eyebrows on.
Shit, so. I'm one of them.
He's looking at me. Right
as a boy, you fill yours in?
I have no eyebrows. I have a little stump right at the tip of my eyebrow, and the rest is all filled in. It's all fiction.
As you get older, the hair above your eyes does wear off. You know, it gets thinner, and so if you want to look younger, you darken your eyebrows. That's a little trade secret.
I thought it was you grow a beard, so it gives you a new chin.
And yeah, I mean, the reason Mark and I have beards, and a lot of these, like, what is that, Magnolia Crawford? She wears a beard now, so she can hide her double chin.
Girl, she's got muscles. She don't need a damn beard.
Even if you got a good body, it frames still hides. The face. It frames your face.
What I like about it is it's less maintenance, and then you don't get, like, you know, bumps and rashes and pimples and all that kind of stuff like that.
You got to put your best man's face forward.
I just heard that yesterday, the James man's face.
I fucking love that thing so much. You know how proud I was I got that.
I hope you're monetizing that, making your own merchandise for that.
I'll let them make their own little profit. That I'll allow. They can make a name for themselves with that.
You have a makeup tutorial series now on Logo, though, on Logo.com. You're like the only drag queen that's actually on Logo anymore, because they're no longer posting RuPaul's Drag Race on Logo.
I'm the only drag queen that's nice to Logo anymore. No kidding.
But you really like Drag Herstory series is getting really good, and you're finding like all this rare footage, and you're putting together all this great stuff on LGBT history and pop culture. Where are you finding the time and mostly the footage, and where can I get it?
Girl, a lot of that I've been acquiring for years. Drag Herstory has been a project I've been working on for about 4 years, just acquiring all of it. I have a laptop full of old drag queen clips.
It's interesting because you know James Mansfield is inspired by Jane Mansfield, who was known for being kind of a cocktail blonde bombshell, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's the weird like dichotomy about her, is she had that sort of presence, but she had a 160 IQ, college graduate.
So like you, she's faking being stupid.
Absolutely, all an act.
And so for you, like, you're sort of like this dumb blonde who has a brain for, history and culture.
Exactly. You put out a facade so that people give into it, and then you trick them and let them like get under there that you're smart and you can get your message across.
What is it that, like, inspired you to go in this direction? Because your dad was a clown, and he was. Were a puppeteer. Like, you guys are like a circus family.
What kind of clown was your dad? Was he like a happy Christian clown, or was he like a murderous, stealing children and dragging them into the woods it kind of clown?
That's more of a Chicago thing than a Milwaukee thing. But, the killer clowns come from Illinois, not Milwaukee. But no,
Oh, that's right. You just have your gay cannibal serial killers in Milwaukee.
Right.
That's
get it
right.
Together,
you know.
Girl.
Yeah.
But our cross-dressing, you know, suit-wearing people.
Oh, and then the serial killer, the Ed Gein, that was, who used to wear, like, had a belt made out of nipples. Yes, that one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Creative. We're crafty in Wisconsin. You can't get to the that.
So your dad was a nice, wholesome Christian clown, or?
No, actually, my father, he's really rugged and manly. He's a roofer, and he's part of the Shriners here in Milwaukee. And it's all anonymous. It's all for children's hospitals. So they do this charity gig every year for the Triple I Shrine Circus. All these Shriners would get dressed up as clowns for a few days and just go. And we always got to go to the circus. And it was a really happy memory for me. And I wanted to bring that to the runway with my final dress if I got to wear it.
Yeah, I noticed that after, you know, she was being real shady to you, Michelle Visage is like, well, somebody had to go home first.
It's what it is. She's a very salty and fun woman, I suppose.
Yeah.
People like her.
Yeah. Do they? Now, what advice did Trixie Mattel give you? Because you're close friends with her. You made a very shady Michelle Visage puppet for Trixie.
Well, the thing is, I'm a huge fan of Michelle Visage, believe it or not. I love her and her career. She's got one of the weirdest careers I've ever heard.
Yeah.
But I made that puppet because I wanted to do tribute to her. And also, I wanted to sneak in a Wayland Flowers reference.
Because you're a big fan of Wayland Flowers and Madam, entertainer, yes, from the 80s.
Yeah, it's one of our great entertainers that AIDS sadly took away from us.
He was gay?
Yes, he was, girl. He was gay.
Yeah.
As gay as a $3 bill. What did Trixie Mattel tell you? Because Trixie had a heartbreaking departure, too.
Twice. Yeah. She lost RuPaul's Drag Race twice.
Three times. You think about Miss Congeniality, you shouldn't get that either.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But yeah, as far as the man
salt in, James, rub it in.
She's over it now. She's doing way better.
But what kind of advice did Trixie give you? Like, she knew what was going on.
To be honest, when I was getting on the show, I was so terrified to talk to anyone that I didn't even trust her. So I didn't tell her.
You didn't trust us. You didn't even tell us.
She didn't find out until everyone else did.
I didn't even know that you were on Drag Race until I saw you throwing some shade Vivacious's way.
Yes. This is what you said.
We interviewed Vivacious just briefly before talking to you today, and I wanted to play Vivacious's response. Can I play that for you?
Oh, sure. Let me hear her rebuttal. I'm sure.
Okay. She's got some words for you.
So, Vivacious, what do you have to say about Jane Mansfield's shady comments?
Hello?
Vivacious, are you there?
It's called silence, the unspoken shade, honey.
So, James Mansfield said, yes, on RuPaul's Drag Race, Meet the Queens, that she's a walking piece of art, but not like Vivacious. I'm pretty, she said. What do you think of that?
Well, it's never good to use somebody else's words in terms of what they were given. I earned the name walking piece of art for 20 years. It was given to me. I didn't call myself that. It was given to me by five great legendary DJs that created the house music and dance scene of the planet. It's not a phrase that I came up with on my own. It's a phrase that was given to me and I earned. So it's good to know that she's using my words and trying to attach it to herself. Oh, but actions and deeds must be earned over time.
She is guilty of the crime of being insubordinate. What is her punishment, Vivacious?
Her punishment shall be sashay away.
But that's exactly what she did.
So she served her time?
She served her time. She's done her crime, and now she can make amends.
And how would you think that James should make amends?
She can make amends by going out into the world and showing them what she wasn't able to show them on the show. She needs to be the underdog and prove them wrong. She needs to go out there and, you know, in the show, it made it look as though, based on the show, it made it look as though her body physically showed up, but her presence and spirit didn't show up, as though she left it back at the airport. She now has that chance to go out into the world, engage the planet, and show them the true James Mansfield and turn them out.
How did you feel when you first heard her say this?
I was shooketh. I know that's the new trending word, right? My fans call me and go, who is this tired queen coming up to you saying that she's prettier than you and she's using your name? And then one of my other friends said, well, girl, that's 3 seasons in a row past your season that your name is still mentioned. So don't look at it as anything negative. Any press is still good press.
So the couple seasons before, what else? What happened like in the last 2 seasons?
They decided to do an Ornatia headpiece and like stick it on almost every queen and the season before that too. I think when Miss Fame had walked into the room, they were like, her outfit looked like something that Vivacious would have worn, stuff like that. So it's carried on for 3 seasons straight somehow.
You are the things that legends are made of.
Vivacious is hard to kill.
It's called STD.
What does STD stand for?
She don't die.
She don't die.
She don't die. STD. She don't die.
Vivacious, thank you so much.
James, all the best, mama. Go do your job. Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Catch you later.
Bye-bye.
Was this a newer episode?
No, we called it today.
This is live.
Do you have any comment on it?
Yeah. What would you like to say to Vivacious, James?
Bye. I talked to you a few months ago about this. I thought we were past this. You guys got to wrap that in a white light and let that go, Oprah.
Well, we wanted to get you guys have publicly wrap it all up and everything's fine. So she's making a good point. Your job now is to show to the world who you are. It was so great to be able to tape an episode of Cooking with Drag Queens with you, which is up on our YouTube channel right now. It was so nice to be able to show the world a genuine smile on your face.
And I love faking every one of them. No.
But it was, you know, I think like collaborating, this is what we tell people all the time, like collaborate, come and do stuff. And you like, you have no idea how to frost a cake. You've never baked a cake.
No.
It was terrifying for you. I noticed like your body language, you were like, you were more scared of that cake than you were of the other drag queens on Drag Race.
Girl, I was more scared of that goddamn powdered sugar. It coated my lungs for 2 weeks.
Listen, Lady Bunny has no problem with that powdered sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, powdered sugar, that's what we'll call it.
So, you know, we basically drove up to Wisconsin, and for a lot of people who watched James Mansfield making that dulce de leche chocolate Princess Belle Barbie doll cake. When we're filming you, that's your house. That's your community. That's your backstage. That's your bar. That's where you do your stuff.
Oh, absolutely. That is my stomping grounds. Those are my girls, my babies.
So now that your social media following has increased because of all this media appearances that you're having, has your friends, has your drag sisters or your community reacted in a favorable way?
Well, it's hard to say because it's been a rather small development because I found that group of Dick's girls right as I got on the show, and I kind of vanished for a couple weeks. And then that happened, like all the rumors came out, and it got a little awkward because it's like a thing that we couldn't speak of. I wouldn't even tell them.
Mm.
So it created a little bit of a rift as far as, you know, conversations went. It got a little awkward, but I'll say like they've been nothing but supportive for me. Dix has gone out of its way to make me the star of that place, and I could not be more appreciative because nowhere else in Milwaukee wanted to.
What's the name of that really tall, muscular drag queen that was in the show with you?
That's my baby, Nina Pinta Santa Maria.
Nina Pinta Santa Maria, for people who don't know who she is, she looks like a muscular Tranica Rex, like a bodybuilder Tranica Rex. And she, you, everybody in that show were all doing death drops.
For the most part, yeah.
So is doing a death drop now a requirement for performing in drag shows in Milwaukee?
Well, not so much a death drop. Our thing is the knee drop. We all do like different variants of the knee drops where we're all going to be in like fucking crutches by the time we're 30.
That shit ain't good for your hips or your legs.
Girl, you're telling me I did a knee drop in South Beach and the promoter neglected to tell me the stage was solid steel.
Ouch.
And that was my first number out.
Yeah, you want like a floor that has some kind of give.
So I'm hobbling the rest of the show.
So, you know, I would say that you're pretty good company being the first, one of the first eliminated queens from RuPaul's Drag Race. You have Tammy Brown from the first season.
She was not the first one. She was.
That was Pork Chop.
That's right. That's right.
Tammy Brown was like third.
Yeah.
Who was it? Pork Chop. You had the Arizona queen. Queens from Drag Race.
It was Pork Chop, Shangela.
Mm-hmm. Shangela was first eliminated.
Yeah, she was.
Well, she'd only been doing drag for a little while at that point in time, too.
Yeah.
And so then she came back for Saving Three, threw a cocktail at Mimi I'm First, and made Drag Race herstory.
You gotta make a statement somehow. Throwing a drink at Mimi is a good way to start.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember who were the first queens to go.
Oh, I can tell you. I know that history. Pork Chop, Shangela. Venus Delight, Alisa Summers, Penetration, Kelly Mantle.
Tempest du Jour.
Yep, Kelly Mantle, Magnolia Crawford, Tempest du Jour. And if we go through All Star, yep, then me. No, Nyssha Lopez.
And Nyssha Lopez.
And didn't Nyssha come back, though, later?
Yeah, she came back.
But then
so it has to be like Dax and Layla, technically, if you want to get the technicalities.
But it just felt so heartbreaking to see you go home. We have some great questions from the listeners. But before we get into those, two things I want you to weigh on is Wendy Gate. people are not happy that Wendy Williams and Ross Matthews are hosting the intro and outro from the commercials. They're calling it the viewing party.
Well, I have a serious problem with Ross Matthews hosting anything, if that's what you want. Okay.
Felt weird, especially in the episode that you got eliminated, because here's hosting a cheerleading competition, and then where they're cutting to commercial, he's hosting himself hosting.
It's like Inception. There's a host inside of a host.
It's like, and on top of that, you think hosting it twice, he would learn the names of the drag queens on the season 9. He still doesn't know your names.
He's a busy man, Paul. So he's a busy man.
Wendy Williams, now Detox. This is serious. Detox, Michelle Visage, everybody is asking for Wendy Williams to be removed as a host of that viewing party because of her homophobic and transphobic and problems with
Erica Couture Aviance fiasco. Yeah, I have no idea.
Where she was removed from her audience of her talk show
twice. Not once, but twice.
Oh wow!
They try to patch things up. They brought her back on, and then they did it again to her twice.
Wow.
Yes,
it's like that whole United wearing the leggings kind of thing, isn't it?
It's worse than that because they actually invited her to come back, and she did, and they did it to her again.
Assholes.
And it's on Johnny McGovern's Hey Queen channel. You can read I watched the interview and I was just like, what the hell is wrong with Wendy Williams and what's wrong with VH1 putting her as the guest? I mean, put Michelle Visage on. Yeah.
And so you have
Williams is a fostered personality from VH1 for years. Like, I remember she had her own little specials there. So she's got a relationship with them. So they have every right to choose whatever host they want to use. Mm-hmm. And as far as it goes, you don't have to watch it. That's the stance I take on it. I change the channel.
And a lot of people feel as like, you know, they always call her a drag queen. So I think maybe she's just kind of like, well, after all these years of people thinking I'm a man in a dress. Well, if you listen to
Tupac Shakur songs, she's been called much worse. So I mean,
what's that?
If you listen to Tupac Shakur songs and Biggie Smalls, you know she's been called much worse.
Oh, so. What did they call her?
Oh, I can't quite remember, but you just look, just Google it. You'll find it. There's rap
you mean they
about
actually
her.
Rap about her?
Yeah, she's been a radio personality for years. And she's a controversial. She's like the female Howard Stern, only...
she's a female Perez Hilton, I would say.
Yeah, let's give her that one. she's a personality. Yeah. And she does good at what she does. She's made good for herself. So that's all I have to say about her.
So you're cool with it?
I don't mind it. And I heard she said something about me. But again, I don't watch it, so I don't care.
And what's your beef with Ross Matthews?
Oh, I love Ross Matthews. It's fun to like throw shit at him.
It is.
I don't hate anybody.
Well, the second thing before we get to is, I guess on TMZ, they announced that Adore Delano is suing her management, Producer Entertainment Group.
Saying that they took all her money.
And I've been talking to some queens and they're all saying it's like Adore may not have a good case on her hands. That actually costs a lot of money to promote, create videos to record these songs, and yet her case might actually fall through in court. But, you know, of course, we're all not lawyers, so we don't know what's going on.
I'm guessing they'll probably just have some kind of settlement.
Yeah, it'll probably settle out of court. Like, we're not going to get privy to any of that contract negotiation. Already there's contract details, so I hope the best for her.
I do want to warn the listeners that my legal expertise comes from watching a lot of Showgirls movies.
Oh, okay.
On Facebook, Tom Schneider wants to say, I'm so glad you're back on Feast of Fun and Cooking with Drag Queens. I'm reminded of the time when Tammy Brown was on Drag Race, misunderstood by many for her uniqueness, but the resilience of a true underdog who continues to march the beat of her own drum, no matter what negative things other people have to say. Sure, it's easy to fit in and be yourself when you're like every other fish sheet girl, but it takes real courage for someone really special like James Mansfield to get on TV and perform for the world. Thank you for giving a voice to the people who feel different and showing them they can pursue their own dreams. Can't wait to see more from you. Keep on keeping on, Hunty.
Aw, thank you so much.
Tom, that's not a question.
Yeah.
I know, there's no question there, but thank you for the kind words. I really appreciate them.
To Watch a Star says, hi, it was sad to see James Mansfield sashay away. I know her from your podcast and love her since then. I have a question. James, what have you learned from this experience? Besitos.
What have I learned? I'll say this, speak when you need to. Don't wear nude lipstick when you go into a uterus workroom. And that's about it.
Natalie Renee wants to know, what is your favorite and least favorite part about doing drag?
My favorite part is getting dressed up. My least favorite part is that moment in the night where your toes are crunched up against your tights and you can't walk, but you still truck through it anyway because you fucking love drag and you love doing it.
We're going to get really shady here. So if you got some hot tea, take a sip, sit down.
We're going into
the underbelly of the drag race community, which is RuPaul's Drag Race subreddit on reddit.com. Sexlisha Cruz wants to know, ask us a question for us. Do we have sex with your podcast and cooking show guests? Only the hot ones.
Yeah, sadly, I did not make the cut on that one.
Oh, you know, I did cop a feel of your hot, muscular boyfriend, though.
This is true. I didn't have a car to throw keys in that bowl, so. Oh.
You know what your boyfriend said to me? He's like, you have such a nice body.
Such a wonderful liar, isn't he?
Your boyfriend's really is fun. The Book Giant says, are you surprised at the fan reaction of your early elimination?
To tell you the truth, it is quite shocking, and I was really surprised at the way I was portrayed and the way everything came across, because it was such a haunting experience for me when it happened. Like, it was one of those things that was in the back of my mind constantly.
But are you happy you did it?
Well, when you spoke to me last about it, like, I still hadn't fully processed it.
Yeah.
And that was a whole process I had to get through. And I think part of watching it with an audience I did not know, with two people that were there with me through it, it was really, like, therapeutic. And I really, like, came to terms with everything that happened. And I was very happy with what they showed of me for the most part. I would have liked to have shown more, but that's life sometimes.
Yikes Jesus has a, Yikesus or whatever their name is.
Yikesus.
Yikesus has this is one of my favorite questions. Who is the Marilyn Monroe to your Jane Mansfield? And how much do you hate her?
Vivacious, right?
Because for a lot of people out there that don't know who, the relationship between Jane Mansfield and Marilyn Monroe is Marilyn kind of came first, and then Jane Mansfield came around in the studio, kind of used Jane as a way to kind of keep Marilyn in line in some sense.
Yes.
Don't do this, we'll have Jane do it. And
I'd say the Marilyn Monroe to my Jane Mansfield probably have to be of my season, they think. Probably it has to be someone that does not really register in the same league of competition as far as what we do. It'll probably be Pheromone. She's like very loved and very beloved and pretty much so deserved. But we do different things. But I always consider her like the Marilyn Monroe and me more the Jane, where we both have a similar aesthetic of that showgirly blonde bombshell type. She does hers very polished, whereas I am more towards comedy. And if you really think about the dichotomy between Marilyn and Jane, they weren't really rivals. The true rivalry was Marilyn Monroe and Mamie, was on Jay Mansfield and Mamie Van Doren, because those two worked the same circuits for years and competed for the same gigs.
Mm-hmm.
Marilyn never had any competition. She really broke it down.
Right.
I want to draw attention. We did do a podcast with Mamie Van Doren that's available to premium subscribers at feastoffun.com. You can become a member at feastoffun.com/plus and access our podcast with Sharon Needles, with Latrice Royale, with
Bianca Del Rio,
Adore
Delano,
twice. RuPaul, Michelle Visage,
Lady Bunny,
Alaska. Ross, even Ross Matthews,
all of them
have been on the show, but you only can listen if you become a member at feastoffun.com/plus.
And Spencer Rietta wants to know who you were going to do for Snatch Game. Was it going to be Jane Mansfield?
No, it wasn't actually. I was going to do Rebel Wilson. I actually did a little bit of her in the video I released after my elimination.
Oh, I can totally see that.
Because I get it so much.
Were you nervous about your Vogue Lady Gaga tribute? Do you think it was a little shady, or did her presence encourage you more? This is from Anne Essay.
I'll say this, and it didn't really register on the show, but when I walked out, she fucking laughed like a hyena. Like, I heard it through the studio. I saw the look on her face. She laughed at it, and that was the whole point of it. And from, like, studying the cover, she looked like she was asleep, so that's just what I took with it and ran with a bit. Because I knew everyone else was going to be very, like, you know, on the toes, tributey, and very respectful. And she's right there. She's a person. She's got a fucking sense of humor. Why not take the piss out of it? It's fun. It's comedy.
Did the producers tell all the queens not to wear raw meat for that challenge?
I don't think any girls really wanted to attempt it because we only had a few days to make that.
Girl, I would just bring some packs of bologna or salami and just slap it all over myself and be like, here I am, I'm Lady Gaga. And they'd be well, like, first eliminated.
Most of the catering was Chipotle or, like, you know, vegan food, so there wasn't a whole lot of meat to go around. Mm-hmm.
Bequeathed onto these wants to know, do you agree with the other girls on who said you seemed out of your element or overwhelmed during filming? Was the way you were edited a good representation of your experience during filming?
I'll say it was a projection of me as far as what the other girls said about me. Like, it was really a shock because I had no idea it said any of it, but I was very vocal with what I said about them, mm-hmm. which was nothing because I never got asked about them.
Well, at least you're not being accused of being evil queen, because a lot of the queens that get a bad edit, they have to wear our I'm not an evil queen, I just got a bad edit t-shirt. Available at feastoffun.com/store.
Ding.
That edit stuff's bullshit anyway. It's like, you said it. It's like, I was the way I was. I was very reserved, and I was very into myself those first couple days, because you gotta understand, like, that's a whole fucking thing to go through that you were not used to.
Mm-hmm. Well, Charlie Hyde's and some of the other queens sensed that there was something not right
during Untucked. He was kind of like, he was frantic in a way.
Yeah.
Well, at that first day, like, I tore my chest open from duct taping, so I was in severe physical pain that entire Untucked.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I have scars on the. I showed you guys before on my but I did the podcast before and I came back. I had some really nasty scars on my chest from duct taping it from walking in the workroom. And I was understanding I was going to be dragged that long. I wouldn't have ever done it, but I took it off for that hometown look. I was like, oh shit, I have no skin there anymore.
Oh yeah. When you do the duct tape, you're supposed to, you put it on a towel first, right? And then after you you put it on your body because you don't want that straight duct tape on you.
Or you can just remove it slowly.
Yeah, that whole episode was a big surprise for us. Mm. I was expecting like a cute little photo shoot challenge and then be a boy right after. But that didn't happen.
I'm Tuck wants to know, besides Nina Bonina Brown, who else have you gotten close to from your season?
I will say I got closest to Eureka and Charlie Hyde. Mm. Believe it or not, me and Eureka actually got very, very close.
Well, I'm really glad to hear that Eureka's a friend of yours.
She is. Like, she has a huge heart. That is one beautiful person. If you ever can get Eureka on the show, get her, because she is funny.
I invited her. She's been invited. And so is Nina Bonina Brown. Both of them have been invited. Nina's going to do it. I'm still waiting to hear back from Eureka. I don't want to be telling people that she sucks just like the vacuum cleaner.
She could suck the chrome off a bumper, that one.
Miss J Squared says, your hometown look included a Tejano influence, and you've mentioned being a Selena fan on your YouTube channel. Are there any other Tejano artists you enjoy, and would any of your other looks on the show have been influenced by them?
I had a couple ideas in mind, but I really home right to Selena. That's really my favorite of all. Because when she died, Tejano kind of died.
Yeah, I feel like I'm very attracted to Valentina, who says she's been dressing up in drag for the last 10 months. Mm-hmm. But she's been a fierce sissy faggot for her entire life.
Oh, don't get me wrong. That bitch has been painting for years.
And she's got personality. And wearing that artist beret and that those eyebrows, you know, she's got a look.
She cracked me up when I saw that because she kind of looked like the aunt from Sleepaway Camp, if you've ever seen that one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
A very big personality, and she had like that fierce-ass beret and that crazy voice. And those eyebrows, girl, she cracked me up when I saw it. I loved it.
Have you picked up on the controversy over the Virgen de Guadalupe religious candle she was holding?
What controversy was that?
Well, as Adore Delano says, some weren't liking the way they portrayed Valentina's religious votive on the show. They felt that it was tacky, I guess, when they played the mariachi music in the background and people were like confused about what it was.
I didn't think there was anything wrong with it as far as it goes. Like, she can be religious if she wants to. And as far as her being Latino on the show, like, who am I to tell her to like tone it down? Like, I'm one of the most whitewashed Latinos you'll ever see. It's like, I'm not one to tell them to tone down their culture.
Your heritage is for you to define and to express as it feels comfortable for you, you know, and it's not for anybody else to turn around and say, you're not Latino enough or you're too Latino.
Yeah, and that's one of those things I had to get over a long time. That's one of those things people always threw against me, and I'm over it now. But I'm just saying that in like a means of defense-wise, like, who would I be in this blonde wig and pink dress and white lips and like face paint that's of like lighter skin color to tell anyone they need to tone down their ethnicity? Like, let them do them. And as far as the religion thing goes, I think it's beautiful that she found that in her life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great that they're showing it.
Well, and a lot of people I want to stress who are listening to this podcast or just discovering James Mansfield of RuPaul's Drag Race, James does a extraordinarily good job, a very academic job, actually. It's like taking an LGBT history class in your YouTube series Drag Herstory. So I really urge people to watch it because you've been putting out a lot of content.
Yes. You kind of struck me off guard with that. Drag Herstory is all me. You caught me while I was checking my email and I'm trying to like get back to the conversation. I was trying to multitask.
You're on live. This is why they sent you home.
Be present. Be in the moment, girl.
Be in the moment.
Don't think about what's coming.
You're on Grindr and Scruff and Snapchat, Instagram.
Don't you dare snap at me for being multitasking while doing a podcast. I was there live with you too.
While we were interviewing you, I was cruising on the hookup apps.
That's what I thought.
You've noticed the new hookup apps on Grindr. They put all these new emojis that are all like inspired by Drag Race moments. I have drag queens, which as much as I am a big fan of drag, when you're trying to, you know, when you're a thirsty girl and you're cock hungry and you're trying to seal the deal, the last thing you want to send to somebody is, yes, mama, work.
I don't know. I think I'm not joking, bitch, really seals the deal when you think about it. Or if you get a whole pick, like, how funny is it to send, look how orange you look?
Now, you and I are both inspired a lot by Lady Bunny, and now you got a chance to sort of work with her on the tours. And what's been your experience with Bun Bun?
She is amazing. I'll say that. Like, she cracked me up because on the premiere, during all of our sets, she was eating Pringles while she's DJing.
She's eating snacks while
she had probably a bowl of Pringles there that she's snacking on the entire time.
Well, I thought it was really sweet. I saw a video where she was performing up in Milwaukee and she sang her song, I'm Still Here. And she, you know, did a shout out to you and told you, it's like, you know, Lady Bunny has a love-hate relationship with Drag Race. She loves how it has brought drag out to the forefront, but she also feels as like in some ways I don't want to put words into her mouth, but she feels that there's some kind of negative aspects to it when you're just worshiping this one television show and not accepting other parts of drag. I think that's fair assessment of what she says. And then she just kind of felt like, she gave you some inspiration, it seemed, and gave you a little hug and kiss and did a shout out to you.
It was a wonderful moment, and I felt bad because I went there with this cold, so I thought I was going to have like a mirror crack moment where I snuck out of quarantine and gave her, the German measles.
Agatha Christie's The Mirror Cracked. If you've never seen it with Liz Taylor, please watch it. It's a great movie.
What happens in the movie? I guess they give each other a cold.
Oh. There's a murder, you have to figure out why this person was murdered in it.
Well, Lady Bunny is a senior citizen, and so if you're going to be like going to a meet and greet, and make sure you wash your hands before you meet her, because you don't want her to catch a cold.
Define senior citizen.
Why should
citizen?
We? She doesn't.
She does like to point out that she is younger than RuPaul
by 2 years.
It's like saying be that 1 year older.
It's like Charlie Hyde saying she's the oldest contestant on Drag Race, but I'm like, there,
she is.
Tempest du Jour is like 1 or 2 years younger.
No, Tempest was 42 when she was on.
What? So, she's 42 years old.
Yeah, when she was on.
I'm shocked.
Oh my god, I thought she was.
You thought
older.
She looked older.
Well, yeah. She used to be very heavy, and so she lost a lot of weight, and so that affects the
way
you look.
It's not the weight. It's being a parent that stresses you out.
Yeah,
ages you.
It's those weird turkeys she has in her backyard.
Oh, that's right. Those turkeys gobble all night long.
She doesn't get that sleep, girl.
Have you ever lived with somebody? I'm from Puerto Rico, so like I'm kind of used to, like when I was a kid, we had a rooster in the backyard, and that bird... All at 4 a.m.
Yeah, they make a lot of noise. So when you don't sleep,
and turkeys they're just all day and night going. Mm-hmm. Whoop, 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 whoop. It's horrifying.
So anyway, so Lady Bunny gave you some. She gave you some love from this stage.
Yeah, she did. That was great. Really inspirational, especially getting to meet her the second time. Because at the premiere, I didn't get to talk to her at all. Mm. I said hi to her once, and that was it.
Last but not least, I want you to weigh in Melania Trump's official White House portrait, which Calvin Stowell on Twitter says it has season one Vaseline RuPaul lens all over it.
I'm going to have to go look at it. I haven't seen it yet.
It's her first official portrait. I guess it was done like a day or two after the inauguration.
If you're Googling Melania Trump, make sure to not put the word lesbian in front of it, because you'll find tons of photos of her in lesbian porn. This is our first lady did lesbian porn, erotica, where she's making out with another naked woman, her boobs and her pussy all over the place.
Well, I'll say this. If she had her portrait done for the White House, I'm sure it's a work of art, much in the same regard if she took the Mona Lisa and drew tits on it.
I actually, like that we have, it's all the horrifying things about the Trump presidency aside, it's kind of exciting that we have basically like a Playgirl pinup,
It's not cute.
It makes for good comedy.
It's not cute. No.
You don't like it?
Honey, I'll tell you, comedians love it.
Mm-hmm.
There are worse things Trump has done for sure.
He just called Putin today to say we'll fight this because they just had a terrorist attack in Russia, and so he called him to say we're gonna fight this together.
And I love you.
And please get my palace ready because I'm gonna have to be leaving here soon.
Are you working on any puppets, James? Or is the puppet because you're working on that big fairy furry monster that we see on Cooking with Drag Queens?
Yes, he's definitely part of my touring show, and I actually have a couple other big walking puppet creations that are gonna be on tour soon.
Do they have any names?
Not just yet. I don't usually name them until they're all finished and all packaged ready to go.
But you've been performing with this basically it's like a gay Oscar the Grouch.
Yeah. I hadn't had a name for it, and then Ririka gave me a really cute name that was like a southern nickname for a penis.
What's that?
Oh, what the fuck was it? Now I forgot it.
Dick?
Cock?
Wang Doodle?
It'd be Oscar Wilde the Grouch. Because Oscar Wilde was kind of tall.
The Grouch, I like that.
Was tall and kind of. Oscar Wilde was kind of like had like the same body as Big Bird.
Okay, that's another way of putting it.
He was tall, had a big butt. You know, like you look at photos and portraits of Oscar Wilde, like he was not a delicate little flower.
But he had game.
He did. James, where are you traveling to, or what's your future gigs that fans can check you out at?
I will be in San Fran in a few weeks, as well as Texas. And it's all coming up from there. Oh, I lost my voice again. I'll be all over, honey.
I know you. I'm afraid you have not much voice left, as Eartha Kitt would like to say on stage. But we thank you so much for being part of Cooking with Drag Queens and RuPaul's Drag Race and our podcast through the years. And of course, I hope when this settles down, come back and let's talk a little bit more about drag herstory.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely, honey.
I want to come up to Milwaukee and be one of your videos in drag with you.
Ah, shit, yeah. You come do my makeup.
What?
Let's do it.
You want me to do your makeup?
Yes.
I will. You be prepared for what you ask for.
I think it'd be great.
I'll bring the spray paint.
Oh, shit.
Graffiti time.
Honey, I use aluminum foil and, surgical scissors and hot glue.
Oh, shit, girl.
Yeah, it's like, I don't believe in eyelash glue. I use the hot stuff.
Okay, well, we could do Mark's makeup then.
Please do. I need all the help I can do. Actually,
we could do a sequel, The Force Feminization.
That's why I'm working on the script right now.
Do you want to do it?
What's that?
The sequel, the trilogy to Force Feminization, because we have two of those.
Is this the one where you actually snuff Mark out at the end?
Well, no, you don't get snuffed. It's just
we need a good. You know,
I'm working on. I have part. Some ideas. I'm working on some ideas.
So the beginning was that Mark.
Right. This is going to be a different Force Feminization. Yeah. It's going to have maybe the same people in it, but well, except for the one who's dead. But we might have somebody play her.
We're having to replace the blonde one.
We're going to replace poor Victoria Lamar. May she rest in peace.
Yeah, it's lovely.
I'm going to get somebody this time that actually knows her lines.
Oh.
I know. But anyway, so we're going to do that. It's going to be a slightly different format, too. So I'm working on it. But I'm going to do a drag performance in April 22nd.
What?
I am.
What are you doing?
I'm doing, they have to do this show called Six Queens, One Diva. And it's the diva, they every year, every performance, they pick the diva for the next one. And this next one is going to be Aretha Franklin. So I have to do two Aretha Franklin numbers. It's going to be a tragic comedy.
But a lot of people may not realize that Mark Felian is the Death Drop Daddy, Hashtag Death Drop Daddy on YouTube, that you've done two videos that both have gone viral. People keep going, who is this old man who's death dropping?
Oh, that's
dancing
terrible.
With the ganja, right? I saw that.
Mm-hmm.
The one was the La Ganja workshop, and the other one, and Mark figured La Ganja didn't teach you how to do it.
Well,
she helped refine it.
She actually helped. Yeah, she helped me refine it because I first listened, because if you do how to do a death drop, you find this little. I think she's probably maybe 7 or 8 years old, a little African American girl. She's super adorable, and she teaches you how to death drop. And her thing is like you lean back and you put your leg forward, you slide it forward. But La Ganja is her trick is you put your head back at the same time that you lift your leg. So you kind of have to, and it's really just so it goes against anything that your brain wants to do. But if you know how to fall, you can do it right. But you got to fall on the right kind of surface too.
If I tried that, I'd be in a wheelchair. Mm-hmm.
Split your fucking head open. Good God.
No.
Without a doubt.
Yeah. I used to be a circus acrobat, and that's why I'm being a wheelchair now. I've landed on my head. It is not pleasant.
Yeah, I can tell.
Anyway, James, best of luck to you on your tours, and I can't wait to see you on the reunion show, whenever that's going to air.
Oh, thank you, boys, so much.
We love you, sweetie.
We love you. And do you have a prediction for who might win this season?
LaShawn Beyond.
Oh, please.
I think Nina Bonina Brown and Valentina, certainly Peppermint, listen, Shea Coulee.
If it's not Shea Coulee, and maybe it's just because she's a Chicago girl, but it's like, I look at the girls, I see the talent, and I think it's going to be Shea.
Shea's getting very good at it. Mm-hmm.
So far.
I love that. Everyone asks me that. It's like, who do you think is going to win? It's like, none of them. I don't care anymore.
I just don't care
anymore. Well, you don't even know, right? Because you got sent home.
No, I don't know anything. Like, I couldn't answer that intelligently.
You're as in the dark about it as we are.
I'm just a humble fan now.
So are you able to root for anybody, or you got to stay neutral?
As far as it goes, I would say I'm rooting for my bestie, Nina, or maybe Charlie Hyde, because it'd be nice for something good to happen to that old broad.
Listen, you know, Charlie married well. She lives in the UK. She has health care. She has a successful YouTube channel.
She has a modest life, that Charlie Hyde's. A very modest life with very little success. I'm kidding.
She's that best friends with Cher. All of us. She's best friends with Cher. Cher tweets her.
Well, as we know from her friendship with Kathy Griffin, her standards are pretty low. No, yeah, I fucking love Charlie Hyde so much.
James, it's great talking to you.
Thank you, honey.
Bye, sweetie.
Bye.
Bye, boys. Mwah.
James Mansfield lives in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Check out her YouTube channel where you can learn about drag herstory at jamesmansfield.com. And it's spelled J-A-Y-M-E-S Mansfield.com. Mm. Of course, all the links to this and everything is available on our website, feastoffun.com.
And don't forget to check out, what was that?
That's a bird.
Why is it tweeting at me?
Because it's happy.
Don't forget to check out James Mansfield in our latest episode of Cooking with Drag Queens, where we make a Beauty and the Beast Princess Belle doll cake. And you can check that out on our YouTube channel. Just go to youtube.com/feastoffun. And don't forget to subscribe and share it with your friends.
It's a simple cake recipe with a butter face.
Because mm-hmm. that doll got so much publicity on the internet when it first came out. Because you're like, Emma Watson is a beautiful woman. Beautiful actress. And then this doll comes out and you're like, why does this doll look like Justin Bieber? It's very weird and awkward.
And Justin Bieber is very feminine mm-hmm. already.
Yeah.
But in drag, he or she looks more butch mm-hmm. than Justin Bieber looks out of drag.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? It's like, yeah. It's very butch. Mm-hmm. And so we sort of have, it was a redemption for mm-hmm. the Belle live action Beauty and the Beast mm-hmm. Doll. And of course, James Mansfield. I mean, you just can't go wrong. Check it out on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/feastoffun. And of course, Cooking with Drag Queens is a project that exists because of a Kickstarter funding that we had 2 years ago. And we're wrapping up the season and we're about to start a new Kickstarter mm-hmm. and a whole new season and whole new projects. So you can learn more about that by just following us on our YouTube channel, and we'll be announcing the new Kickstarter soon.
Yeah. And you can also just go to Kickstarter too, join Kickstarter and start following us there. So you'll know when it comes out.
Feast of Fun.
And also, two people that follow us on Kickstarter are also the ones who get first glimpse at the video. The people that supported our last Kickstarter have actually already seen our video.
Yeah, you get first dibs mm-hmm. and you get a rare behind the scenes footage and photos and lots of other little goodies mm-hmm. at our Kickstarter channel. Of course, that's Feast of Fun. Mm-hmm. Yoohoo, birds! Sorry, that's the I forgot to turn off James Mansfield.
And he's been on the texting phone. You.
Yeah,
he's like, please edit that out. Please edit that out.
So what do you expect to come of season 9? It's a very interesting move because of the move to VH1.
Yeah, it's on VH1. It's on Fridays now. So I've had a hard time catching up with it because I don't have cable and I've been doing some other things on Friday nights. I really kind of miss the Monday nights because it was kind of an off night. And so it was easy to just walk down to the corner to our corner gay bar and watch it. And I wish somebody would bring back a Monday night viewing party, because I got to tell you, I would be there.
Yeah, I'm surprised that bars aren't just screening the show on a Monday night mm-hmm. anyways. But it was an event yeah. show. It was something that brought the community together. And I feel like in some ways we're missing out on something. We've lost something because of it going mainstream and going
okay.
to VH1.
You know what? RuPaul needs to get paid. It'll be on VH1. I can catch up with it whenever, you know, makes its way online. And
Eventually. As of taping of this show, no episodes of mm-hmm. RuPaul's Drag Race of Season 9 are available online yet.
That's true.
If you want to catch it, you have to watch it live. Yeah.
That's, you know, get it live. And unlike this podcast, which will be sitting here for the next 59 days. And then it goes into the vault.
Into the vault. The only way to access our vaults is becoming a premium subscriber. Go to feastoffun.com/plus, where most of the drag queen's deepest, darkest, dirty mm-hmm. secrets all are revealed, mm-hmm. including RuPaul, including Ross Matthews and Michelle Visage on our website.
And that guy that Adore Delano is suing, he's been on the podcast too.
And Adore Delano. Everybody's been on there. So you can check it out and you can search and learn more about these people, you know, because You watch them on the shows. You sort of are fans of them, mm-hmm. but you really don't get to know them the way you do when you get to talk to them with us for a full hour. And right. so check it out. It's a really great service. And
if you have any problems with your account, just email me at mail@feastoffun.com and we'll get it sorted out.
Thank you guys so much for listening. And for the people who are listening through our YouTube channel, please share this with your friends. Share it with your neighbors. Share it with Cher. And thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.